When I was a little boy, I already heard this story through my mother just talking about it in our house, in our room. And I did not forget about this, and the lesson it taught me and teaches me that I have to be patient and also don't ignore those who are in need, be of help to those who need help. And in this gospel today, the parable about Lazarus and the rich man is not teaching that being rich is bad, but that indifference, failing to help a neighbor, has eternal consequence. One of the frequent appeals of Pope Francis during the Jubilee Year of Mercy 3 years ago is that we must reawaken our conscience, too often grown dull in the face of poverty. Let us open our eyes and see the misery of the world, the wounds of our brothers and sisters who are denied of their dignity, and let us recognize that we are compelled to heed their cry for help. May we reach out to them. May their cry become our own. And together, we may break down the barriers of indifference that too often reign supreme and mask our hypocrisy and egoism. Mother Teresa also says about how to proclaim the gospel. He said the gospel is in these five fingers. So you did it to me. So referring from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 25 verse 40, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of my brother or sisters, you did it to me. So Mother Teresa and the whole Missionaries of Charity live this verse of the gospel. Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI said, Jesus identifies himself with those in need, with the hungry, the thirsty, the stranger, the naked, the sick, and those in prison. Love of God and love of neighbor have become one in the list of the brethren. We find Jesus himself, and in Jesus we find God. From his encyclical Deus Caritas Est, or God is Love. The prophet Amos had a keen sense of social justice. He lamented the way the rich are mistreating the poor, and he often warned them that such injustices would result in their own destruction. In our first reading today, Amos reveals the selfishness of the rich, shown by their gross self-indulgence. His description of the complacent Israelites lounging in their luxurious furniture and gorging on the finest foods and best drinks reveals a culture wallowing in sensuality. At the same time, he says, they are not made ill by the collapse of Joseph. This collapse of Joseph refers to the impending collapse of the kingdom. The rich simply do not care about the future or about what will happen to their own brothers and sisters. Their possessions shelters them from the impact of others' sufferings and gives them false sense of security. What Prophet Amos says clearly applies to the sensuality so common in our times. We do not have to be among the super rich to live selfish and complacent lifestyles. Our entire culture promotes self-indulgence. Unless we take a deliberate steps against the world's influence over us, the corruption described by Prophet Amos will continue. The more we are absorbed in our pleasures and in attachment and entertainments, the less we notice the plight of anyone else. poverty here is not only about money or material things, but in spiritual things also, such as faith, hope, and love. Many are starving for love, yet they occupy themselves with endless entertainments. Many are hungry for truth and holiness. They are suffering in ignorance and separation from God. They need God, but they try to avoid God in many activities. We need to reach out to them and share them the love and mercy of God. Be a light of hope to them in this dark world. Many are thirsting for Jesus, which we are feasting every Mass, but we don't share him with others. We are rich in every way with Jesus, but we have to share this truth, his word and Eucharist, to people thirsting for his love. As St. Paul said to Timothy, "But you, man of God, pursue righteousness, devotion, faith, love, patience, and gentleness." In our Gospel, Jesus does not speak about the whole society in general decline. He makes a more personal appeal by talking about one selfish rich man and the one of the victims of his gross negligence, the poor man Lazarus. The rich man lives exactly like the people Amos criticized. He never notices Lazarus, though the poor man is lying right at his gate. How could he miss a man in such an obvious need? Of course, he saw him with his eyes, but he closed his heart. He refused to see him. This makes the rich man's guilt even greater because feigned ignorance and hardness of heart do not diminish, but rather increase the voluntary character of a sin. It's paragraph 1859 of our Catechism. As bad as the indifference of the rich man's looks, there is another possible attitude which is even worse, and we see it emerging in the modern culture of death. There are people who see the suffering of others and propose that the solution is to free them from suffering, not by helping them, but by killing them. They would see the sick, suffering, impoverished Lazarus as a candidate for euthanasia, or offering to kill an unborn baby because he or she has Down syndrome, or he's just inconvenienced. We may not be blinded like the rich man who closed his heart to a brother's need, but we might be shocked of the reversal of the situation in the next life. To avoid this shock after death, let us allow our conscience to be awakened now so that we change from complacent self-love to selfless love for others. To change our hearts takes a strong effort in cooperation with God's grace. St. Paul, writing to Timothy, does not assume that he is doing just fine. He urges Timothy to apply himself like a man to the good fight of faith, or to compete well for the faith. And he solemnly charges him to keep God's command, that is, loving God above all and loving your neighbor as yourself. To love God's command without blame or reproach until our Lord Jesus Christ shall appear. This exhortation is addressed to us as well. We are in a battle. We are preparing for the appearance of Christ and our Savior and King, the Lord of Lords. To prepare for this battle, first we have to be united with Jesus by spending some more hours with him in adoration and prayer, especially praying the rosary. I commend the families who are doing that, especially before the Mass. We pray the rosary. And the rosary is the sword that is our instrument to fight to win this battle, a spiritual battle. We can do nothing without Jesus. That's why we have to spend more time to unite with him in our prayers and acts of charity. We have to build and live as one community. That's why we have this family ministry to help our Christian family to live the life of like the Holy Family, of putting Jesus the center of their life, of their family. We have also the That Man Is You program every 6 in the morning of Friday. They meet in our teen center, and they are also studying this decision about the fight of good fight of faith. And so I invite all men to attend that program also in our parish. And there are other adult programs that can help us to prepare and to be equipped in this battle for souls. So we have to know our faith and practice our faith with devotion. Last week we have in our bulletin the form.org program with our password for our parish, wherein you can listen a lot of teachings about our faith, movies about the saints. So it's like Netflix for Catholic teachings and Catholic lives. So I ask you, encourage you to avail that and sign in, join in that form.org, so you can be fed with the true teaching of the church. Then and only then will we have the strength and the eyes of faith to love God in every neighbor he sends our way. The nuns of St. Teresa of Calcutta do not leave their convent to work without first the participation at the celebration of the Mass and 1 hour adoration of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. It is only when they see with their eyes of faith the body of Christ in the bread that they can also see with their eyes of faith Jesus in every person in need. So as we receive Holy Communion today, let us ask our Lord to give us this grace to see with our eyes of faith, to see him in every person and serve him. And may the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Mother of God, help us all to take good care of each other, not only for our life in this world, but more so for eternal life. Amen.